fear on rightly and wrongly dividing the word of truth, according to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And we want to welcome all of you guys in there, and we're going to start up here, and then we'll have a question and answer session. We already had a few drive-by shooters, so hopefully that's all done. remember to set your clocks back, folks, so you can spring forward and won't be late for your local assembly tomorrow morning. How about that? Changing the times and putting them forward. So let's spring forward with the clock, and let's get the church on time. I want to welcome everyone, Karen and Leo. Good to see you. And everyone at McBible. And Brother Two Notes, we'll try to touch on the issue if you have some more questions about the Great Commission then, okay? Now, what are we talking about tonight, and why is it important for us? And why is right division and getting your Bible right so important? Why do we stress on that so much here in this room? And what is it all about? Why is there different marching orders for different groups in God's plan of salvation? One of the central issues that we were just discussing there with Brother Two Notes about the Great Commission, what happened? What interrupted it? Well, that's what we're going to talk about here tonight and for the next few weeks, until we can show a lot of things concerning these issues, that we can get our Bible right, we can eliminate some of the confusion, and that we can go on and understand what God's will is in our lives today, what He would have us do. Okay? So, Sister Karen, if you're posting tonight, let's start off here with 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Some very offensive verses that we're going to look at tonight. They're offensive not to us, but they're offensive to people that reject the doctrine and the information that we share here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Now note here in the verse, there's a comma there. And note that comma, that it gives us some great information. First, it tells us in that verse to study God's Word. Okay? It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Okay? Not to the, not to men, but study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And let me correct myself. There's two commas in that verse. And it's important that we understand the last comma, because the last comma says, rightly dividing what? Didn't say divide truth from error. It said divide truth from truth. Okay? Truth from truth. And that's the issue. A lot of times we get accused of chopping up the Bible. Some of you, if you were in the preterist room today, you'll see they start saying, well, get your chainsaw out. Here's Romans 4:5, and he's probably got his chainsaw with him. And what a lot of people think is that we chop up the Bible, so to speak. They accuse us of that. They tell us that we just get the clippers and just chop away. But that's not so. We acknowledge the Scriptures, and I tell you, through right division, myself personally, I think that I study more from understanding right division than I'd ever had when I was studying with some of the covenant theologians or some of the Acts 2 people. I study more, and I study the whole Word of God. Okay? Because acknowledging the information and the application is very important for us. It's very important. And further along in the studies, we're going to show why it's so very important. You know, we talk about the dietary issues in the Bible and how we can illustrate that. But one of the most important issues is understanding Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 tells us, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Now, why is that so important for a one that rightly divides the word of truth? So that we, when we people come up with the issues in James 1 and verse 9, or any other scriptures in the Bible, that we can have a clear understanding that we've been forgiven all our sins and trespasses. And also to understand the issues that our salvation and our forgiveness, unlike the Beatitudes, aren't conditional for us here in this dispensation of the grace of God. So when we look at that text and we go to the book of Matthew and Matthew chapter 6, we get a better understanding and a clear understanding of what rightly dividing the word of truth is all about. Okay? Let's look here with Colossians 2. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15. Matthew 6 verses 14 through 15. It says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So, when looking at this analogy, one is conditional and one is not. The information that's given in a kingdom setting is conditional, okay? Given to Israel during the gospel of the kingdom. But what is to us during the dispensation of the grace of God is non-conditional. It's based upon us trusting and believing the gospel of Christ. It's based upon our belief in what Christ has done for us. Okay? Let's also post 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19 through 21. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 21. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now note here in that passage in verse 19 that our trespasses are not being imputed unto us. Okay? Verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And verse 21, "For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Okay? Is that clear? That is a clear passage, something that we can understand. Now, let's also look here at Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Now, that should be very clear for us. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Well, do we have another scripture? Yes, we do. Let's go here to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." That's Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. Okay? Now, that's the illustration through right division that we can understand, and that's a clear passage for us, something that we can show to those that want to throw the conditions on people today. Okay? Now, let's also look at this issue of forgiveness, and then we'll head into our study. In Colossians chapter 3, let's stay there, Colossians 3 and verse 13. Colossians 3 and verse 13. And I want you to note here, as we look at these passages, let's, just for time's sake, let's start at verse 12 and look at verse 13. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. It says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another." Okay? "If any man has a quarrel against any," now note this, "even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Now, that's how important right division is. Okay? Let's illustrate this in another passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." The point here, folks, in this present dispensation, we've been forgiven all our sins and trespasses. And it's not based upon the condition of forgiving others. It's not based upon the condition that we forgive others so that we would be forgiven. So, right division must need to come into play. Right division is the answer of understanding God's plan of salvation for us here in this present dispensation. Okay? Now, why is it so important to understand this? It is so important that we understand this so that we can get our Bible right. Okay? Now, let's look at a passage here. We're going to look at, we're going to couple a couple more passages here, and we're going to illustrate here why it is important to rightly divide the word of truth. Let's first go here to Acts chapter 20, and let's look in Acts chapter 20, and let's look at verse 24. Okay, Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Okay, note here, Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Okay? Now, that's the information. That's the information, and we're going to get into that. That we can show you. Therefore, we can see and we can understand why it's so important and what this information was. All right? So let's look here. First, let's post Acts chapter 3. And verse 21. Peter's preaching here in Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. And he says, "Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Okay? Since the world began. And, we want you to hold text until after the study there we preach. Now, let's put up also Romans 16 and verse 25. Romans 16 and verse 25. And I want you to note here for the newcomers, those that may not be familiar with right division, this point. Romans 16 and verse 25 with Acts 3 and verse 21. Romans 16:25 says, "Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now, what is this all about? Why is Peter preaching, according to prophecy, things that were spoken in prophecy since the world began? Now, here comes the Apostle Paul, and Paul says he's preaching Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, that's the information that when you look and you read in your Bible, you need to reconcile it. You need to understand why this information is going forth. Okay? Now, one is to the church, the body of Christ. And one is concerning the nation Israel during the kingdom. Okay? This is Peter preaching after Christ had rose from the grave and was headed back to the right hand of the Father, according to Peter and all the biblical writers there in Acts. So, this information that was given to the Apostle Paul, the same Christ, and let's make that perfectly clear, he said he's preaching Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And I guarantee you, the people that want to debate those two scriptures, they cannot show anyone but the Apostle Paul preaching Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. And we're going to talk about that issue here in the book of Ephesians a little later. Alright, now, so, one is preaching Christ according to prophecy, the other according to the revelation of the mystery. Galatians 2 and verses 7, 8, and 9 are so important, okay? Galatians chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 9 says, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." Now, this is a very important point there. We talked about it before the room opened up there, concerning why this commission was put in place. Because of the interruption of the prophetic plan with the mystery information that was being dispensed by the Apostle Paul. Now note, a lot of people don't have a problem understanding Moses dispensing the law, God using Moses to dispense the law. But when it comes to Paul in Romans 16:25, then there's a stop sign that goes up. There's people saying, well, why is that in there? They should rip it out of their Bibles. But that's information for us presently in this dispensation. But anyway, let's look at Christ according to prophecy, and let's start off here in the book of Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, and let's look at verses 67 through verse 80, I think. Okay? Luke chapter 1 and verses 67 through verse 80. Okay? Know it's a lot of verses, but we're going to take it easy. Okay. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which had been since the world began." Now note that verse that Peter was preaching from. there in Acts chapter 3, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he shared to our fathers, Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. Speaking of John, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Note the language there that's spoken by the prophet, by, through this prophecy. By the remission of their sins, though the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from the high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. Okay? And verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto whom? Unto Israel. Okay? So there's John making the way straight, talking about what the Messiah will do for So here's the first issue of prophecy. This is what Peter was referring to in Acts chapter 3. Okay? Now let's look at another passage. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah and Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23 verses 1 through 8. Okay? Jeremiah 23 and verses 1 through 8. Jeremiah 23, and turn with me there, and verses 1 through 8, okay? Jeremiah 23 and verses 1, it says, Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastors, saith the Lord. Therefore thou saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Verse 3, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, neither be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, said the Lord. Behold, the day comes, said the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Okay? He's not talking about just Jerusalem, he's talking about the whole earth, the whole ball of wax there, folks. In his day, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteous. Now note here, it's talking about Israel and Judah in verse 6 would dwell safely. Okay? Therefore, behold, the day come, saith the Lord, that they shall be no more, say, the Lord liveth, which brought us the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up, and which led the seed of thy house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Okay? Now, that's some information concerning prophecy. Okay? That's some information concerning prophecy that Peter is preaching there in Acts chapter 3. This information goes back to the prophet Samuel and goes back to the prophet Jeremiah, and throughout all the books of the prophets, they speak of this very same event. Real quickly, let's go to the book of Leviticus, and let's go to Leviticus 26, and we're only going to look at, folks, six passages. Leviticus chapter 26, and we're going to start here at verse 40 and verse 46, okay? Leviticus chapter 26, and we're going to look at verses 40 through 46, okay? Leviticus 26, starting at verse 40 and to verse 46, okay? If they shall confess their iniquities and the iniquities of their fathers with their trespasses, which they trespass against me, and they also that they walk contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and brought them unto the land of thy enemies, if then their uncircumcised heart be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember, and I will remember the land. Okay? Talking about some of the same issues there that were being spoken in Jeremiah, and also there in the four Gospels. The Lord also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy his Sabbath, while she has lieth desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquities, because even before they, despite my judgment, and because their souls abhorred my judgment. Verse 44, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sake, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, and in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God, and I am the Lord. Okay, verse 46. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Okay? Now, what does that information have to do with understanding right division? Well, in Acts chapter 3, remember where we were reading, in Acts chapter 3, and let's pick it up this time, in verse 19, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 through 26. Here it goes. It's going to fall right into place. It says, remember therefore, Acts 3, 19 down, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Okay? For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you and your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from amongst the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So that's the issue. That's the information laid out there in prophecy concerning the nation Israel and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see there in Acts chapter 3, Peter is preaching the second advent of Christ. So he's saying that during the times of refreshing that he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto them. Okay? And we're going to look at that issue in a little bit. So therefore it's important to understand the information to them in that time period, to understand that that's not what we're looking for here today, that we have forgiveness of sins, and that we're not looking for the times of refreshing shall come, that our sins may be blotted out. Okay? Now, let's look at the Apostle Paul here, according to the mystery, according to the revelation of the mystery. Let's go to Romans chapter 2, excuse me. Romans chapter 2, we're going to look at a bunch of verses here concerning Paul's ministry. Okay? Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. Romans 2 and verse 16. Paul says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." Okay? That's why Paul is making the information distinct. He's not talking about according to prophecy. He's talking about according to my gospel. Okay? Let's look also here at 1 Corinthians. We're going to go through a few passages as quickly as we can. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 17, 1 Corinthians 9:17, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Okay, Paul talks about a dispensation of the gospel. Okay, now, Colossians chapter 1, and verse 25, okay? This information, something that was hid in God before the foundation of the world that is now being revealed. Colossians 1 and verse 25, "Whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God." Now think about this passage. This information was given to the Apostle Paul to fulfill the Word of God. It says that through this information that the Word of God will be fulfilled and completed. Okay? So, prophecy was in place. The Apostle Paul's message, the revelation of the mystery, fulfilled the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. 2 Timothy and chapter 1 and verses verses 8 through 11. Okay? 2 Timothy 1 and verses 8 through 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 8 through 11. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Now this information was given to him before the world began. This information is had been hid in God, had been hid in God since the world began, and now it's being dispensed in this but now period. Okay? Let's go through the next verse. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life to immortality to light through the gospel. In verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Okay? It's very important that we understand that fact. Now, let's look. I'm going to give you some verses here. And then we're going to go back to the book of Ephesians and Ephesians 3 and 2. But I'm going to give you some verses here. And note here, when you're looking at your Bible and understanding right division, there's three important points that we need to understand. And the information is the but now, which what we're in now, times past, and ages to come. Okay? But now, times past, and ages to come. Now, I'm not going to give you all the but now verses, or the ages to come, or the times past, but we can look at some of these things and equip each other with this information. First, let's go Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. Okay? Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. This is information that's given in the but now. Okay? Romans 3 and verse 21. I'm looking for the verses to come up there before I start. But let's go ahead and read. Romans 3 and 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Okay? Now, note here very clearly, and this is a key point in right division. Note here, Moses talked about God's righteousness through the law, how one would be complete, how one would be righteous through the law. But note here, Paul says, but now the righteousness of God, meaning now, not in times past, without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, most of Pal Talk here, that's an offensive verse, because that's talking about God's righteousness apart from the law or without the law. A lot of people, Bible believers, don't understand and can't comprehend that God's righteousness today is manifest without the law. Now, the law, it says it's being witnessed by the law and the prophets because it has came forth. Now, what was it talking about? Pointing at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the imputed righteousness that comes from Him. Sin is not imputed to us, but through the fourth chapter of Romans, we understand that what's being imputed unto us. Romans chapter 4, real quick, Romans 4 and verse, let's read verse 22 through 25. Romans 4, verse 22 through 25. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Okay? Now, if you put up Romans 4 and verse 5, Romans 4 and verse 5, then we can understand what Paul is talking about here. Romans 4 and verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believe on him that justify the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Okay? So we can understand that but now principle in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. Now, let's go to Ephesians let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Ephesians 2 and verse 13. It says, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Okay? That's another one from the But Now principle. We're going to talk about that after we go through the list here. Romans 6. Let's go back to the book of Romans. Romans 6 and verse 22. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. Okay? Understand this but now principle. Romans 6 and verse 22. But now, being made free from sin. Wow, ain't that a revelation? And become servant to God, ye have your fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Folks, that's shouting ground in there. I mean, hey, some of us may have come out of those charismatic churches, but that verse, that but now verse there, should have you really a sigh of relief. But now being made free from sin. And what's the other good news there? And the end, everlasting life. Not based on your performance, but what Christ has done for us. Okay? Let us look at another verse here. Let's look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 6. Romans 7 and verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherewith we were hailed, that we should serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now that's another one that you should wipe your brow and say amen, amen for, because you were hailed. You were hailed there and were dead to the law, but we were delivered there. It says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherewith we were hailed. We were dead there, folks. Dead because we were caught up in our trespasses and sin. Dead because we didn't have the atonement that was acceptable before God. We were dead because the scriptures judged us guilty. We were dead because the law pointed out our sin. Now let's take two passages. Let's take two passages to illustrate this issue, why we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Okay? Remember, in Romans 3, now let's look at verses 19 and 20. Romans 3, 19 and 20, and let's look at this. Romans 3, 19 and 20. Now we know that what saying soever the law said it said it to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Alright, we were hailed there because the law convicted us of sin. Okay? Let's go down here, verse 21, 22, and 24, okay? Let's go down to 21 through 24. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Okay? Verse 23, this is for those under the law, those without law. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? But this but now principle kicks in. It says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay? And that's verse 24. Hallelujah. Now, let's look here. Let's go back to the book of Galatians. In Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians in chapter 3. Alright? This is where we were held. Even if you went to the scriptures, even the scribes and Pharisees had this same problem. And here it is. Galatians 3 and verse 22. But the scriptures has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That was their problem. They didn't want to believe the gospel of Christ. They didn't want to believe the gospel of the kingdom. They didn't want to believe the information that was standing there looking them dead in the face. But you know what? Scriptures concluded to them and all of us under sin. Now, why is it so important to understand this but now principle? Because in the but now principle that we have here, the doctrine that is to us in the dispensation of the grace of God, we understand that it wasn't our performance, but it was what Christ did upon Calvary's cross. Let's look at another passage here. And we're going to talk about the issue there in Galatians further on in our study. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look here at verses 18 through 20, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 through 20. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 18 through 20, okay? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in one body, and it has pleased him, and if they were all of one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. Okay? Now think about that but now principle. Think about that but now principle that we have. It's talking about one body. It's talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about the very same issue that we look at when we look at Ephesians chapter 2, when it talks about those that were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's what it's all about, folks, here in this present dispensation. We don't become part of Israel. Israel doesn't become part of us. We all come together, and God is dealing with a body of believers. This is His body, the body of Christ. That's what group He's dealing with today. He's not dealing with national Israel. He's not dealing with just the Gentile nations. He's bringing both the Jews and the Gentiles together in this dispensation in one body. Thank you, Karen. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Okay? Let's look also here, and we're going to talk about the one body principle and how we get there. Now think about this. How we get there, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Okay, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Let's look at another verse here. Let's look at the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, and we're going to look at Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9. Okay? This will add on to your list of but now. Galatians 4 and verse 9. But now, after that, ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Now, I want you to think about that, folks. Think about that and the But Now principle today and what people are doing there today. As we speak, probably some people that were saved by the shed blood of Christ on Calvary's cross, some people that believed that Christ died for their sins, but then certain men crept in, certain religion crept in, and then what do they start doing? Paul says, and thank you, Karen, in verse 10, ye observe days and months and times and years. Okay? Verse 11, Paul says, I am afraid of you, lest I had bestowed upon you labor in vain. Understand, this is important. This is an important issue. This is as important as understanding who your Savior is. This is as important to understanding what you're doing today here in the dispensation of the grace of God. Why are people falling back into the weak and beggarly? Okay? Why are they doing it? I mean, what is the point, folks? Is it the information that Paul shared with them that they don't understand? Or is it religion creeping in? Think about that, folks. Think about it. Now, another verse for you, and we're going to talk about those issues when we talk more about the weak and beggarly and the law. Like I say, folks, this is the first installment of this study, and as you see, we can talk about a lot of things. Let's go here for another passage. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians. Seem like Ephesians and Galatians and Romans are full of these but-now principles. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Says here in Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now think about that illustration. You were once in darkness, but now you are ye light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Being transformed from a lost sinner into a saved saint. Think about that, folks. That's a wonderful passage also in illustrating this but now principle. Now, in Ephesians 2 and verse 4 and 5, okay? Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Sort of illustrate what he was talking about there in Ephesians 5:8. We were in darkness. We were lost. We weren't children of light. But now, the information for us in this present dispensation, we're children of light. And so Paul tells us, walk as children of light. Alright, one more passage here. One more passage, and wow, the drive-by shooters are pretty awesome tonight, aren't they? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25 and 26. Colossians 1 and verse 25 and 26. Says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of the grace dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Okay? Now, this is the part of the core of our message here, that this information had been hid from generation, and here's the but now principle, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Okay? Ephesians chapter 3. Now note here, this information was hidden, and now, but now, it's made manifest unto his saints. Okay? That information that was hid in God before the foundation of the world, something that wasn't revealed, but now is being manifest. So it's been that way since the conversion of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, when Christ gave this information to him to give to us. Okay? Let us go to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Okay? We're going to lay this out here and move on for the night. Ephesians 3 and verse 1 to verse 10. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore, in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ. In verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostle and prophets by the Spirit. Could have been a but now in there too. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effective workings of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now understand this, folks. This information was hid in God before the foundation of the world. It's now being revealed. It's now being manifest. This information is being revealed. It has been being revealed. It's not a mystery anymore. It's the preaching of Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It's information, as it says there in verse 8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay? Now, when we understand this information and get this information out, when a person trusts the gospel of Christ and that alone for their soul salvation, then this information is something that they need be equipped with in understanding the Bible and understanding 2 Timothy 2:15. All of the information that we have, that we understand from the Bible, is based upon that verse. From times past to but now to ages to come, this is the information that we need study and get out in the market of ideas, as I've heard Pastor Terry said. First, the first step for a person to understand how they obtain salvation, how salvation, how they're saved in this present dispensation, and that goes for Jew and Gentile alike. Let us close here with 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. If there be anyone tonight that wasn't aware of what Christ did for them on Calvary's cross, anyone that would seek salvation in this present dispensation, that's the information that will save you, and God the Holy Spirit will seal you until the day of redemption, and you need not worry about if all your sins and trespasses are forgiven. All you need to do tonight is rest upon the witness there in the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for your sins and was buried and risen again. All right, let us close in prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the assembly. Thank you for the crowd tonight. Thank you for the sacrifice of Christ upon Calvary's cross and the shedding of his blood and the sacrifice of the offering up of him and his body and his precious blood for our soul salvation. I want to thank you guys for coming in here and studying with us tonight. And we ask that that you, in everything, give thanks, for that's the will of God in your life. And we want to thank you for all that come here and that they may understand your truth, Lord, rightly divided, as you have presented it to us here in the Scriptures tonight. And with that, amen and amen. And we want to open it up for question and answer session. And remember, folks,